be here. So with great thanksgiving that we have this opportunity to come and be at this meeting again. It's been a long time since we've been here, but it's just been a wonderful time to be here last night and see so many familiar faces that I hadn't seen in a long time, and got to meet several for the first time, and it's always very enjoyable. And I thank you for your prayers, but please continue to pray. You know, as preachers sometime, and we plan to come to a meeting like this, and when we make the obligation to come, then we, have you ever wondered why you did that? You know, and I heard my daddy say that a lot, and had never dearly thought nothing about it until, you know, then I had to start thinking about it. And I thought all the way down this road yesterday, coming down here all by myself, and you know, why in the world am I coming to this meeting? And trying to pray and trying to meditate on things and still wondering, why am I going? But then when I got here, I knew why I came. Because I certainly felt the Lord's presence last night. And my thoughts are tossed to and fro at this time, but as we heard the gospel proclaimed last night, I know we heard the truth. And the Bible says, thy word is truth. And we're living in a time today that truth is not prevalent at all. And we have the truth, and it's right here in this book. Amen. I hope that I can proclaim the truth. When you look at the proclamation of the gospel, the declaration of it, you know, my thoughts come to the 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, in that the Apostle Paul was telling the church at Corinth so many of these things where he says, and I'm skipping around right now just a little bit, and y'all please continue to pray. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not of with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. And it is today. That part has not changed. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I wrote a little note right there. The gospel is to save the saved. The power of the gospel. The salvation of the gospel. And I think last night when I walked away, even though I was very condemned and convicted, I believe I was saved. And I don't want to take all that time to try to explain that away, but I think you know what I'm talking about. There's saving power in the gospel. And he says right here, to save, but unto us which are saved, not are being saved, but are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish of the wisdom? Has God not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Absolutely. Every day I see the foolishness of this world in God's wisdom. And his wisdom is so deep. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it goes on. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I've heard some foolish preaching in my life, but that's not what he's talking about right here. The foolishness of preaching that he can take men that are sinners saved by grace and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? God could talk to us any way he wants to. But God designed that the gospel would be proclaimed and the gospel would change lives. And you know, I'm very concerned about the church today. Now, I love to come to big meetings like this. Yeah, this is a big meeting. We've all called it that all my life. But I'm concerned about our local churches. I'm concerned about your local church and my local church, because that's where it's going on. And I come to this place here today to hear the gospel, that I can better proclaim the gospel and have fellowship, because I like fellowship. Amen. And one other thing my dad taught me was that if you want to have visitors, you need to go visit. So y'all come visit us now. And let's continue that we can strengthen our local assemblies with the truth of the salvation of God. Now, all these things, it was said that was been meant so much, but I think of this over here in 2 Kings. I love these stories in here of 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha. How that these two men worked together. They were yoke fellows. And I'm here today with some yoke fellows. And I'm encouraged here today because I'm seeing younger yoke fellows. And we need that. But as we see that, as Elijah was leaving out of the scene and Elisha was going to take over, we see all these different stories in here. And I don't like saying it's calling them stories, but y'all know what I'm saying. Is how that all this was going on in that of the sons of the prophets. And there's a whole sermon in that. But all these young prophets were coming up under Elijah and Elisha. And how that these young men were learning from these two elder men. And Brother Jeff, he patted me on when we sat down there and he says, "I sure do miss your daddy." And I said, "Boy, I missed him yesterday coming all the way down that road. That, you know, how many times that we spent together, driving together." And I had the best father in the ministry as anybody. Now, I know y'all had, but I had the best one. I had the best daddy and the best father in the ministry. And I miss that. And that's why I like coming around you and listening to you and sitting around and talking, because we need that so much. But in one of these places here, and I'm over here in 2 Kings chapter number 4, I want to begin reading in verse number 38. "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophet were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, 'Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets.' And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered forth of wild gourds his lap full, and came and sheared them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, 'O thou man of God, there is death in the pot.' And they should not eat thereof. But he said, 'Then bring meal,' and he cast it into the pot. And he said, 'Pour out for the people that they may eat,' and there was no harm in the pot." Now, we're all Primitive Baptists and we like to eat. Y'all proved that last night. And y'all going to prove it again here in just a little while. But the natural things that they needed natural things right here. And here under this we see that it was time for them to fix this meal. And here these sons of the prophet, he said, well, go out and gather things to put in this pot. And it's obvious that these men didn't know too much about agriculture. And we're in the middle of agriculture country down here. And I love that. But here these men went out and they gathered these gourds that was not suitable to eat. And they grabbed a lapful. Now, all of us from the country know that, you know, especially the old sisters, you know, when they'd go out and they'd have their aprons on, they'd come back with a lapful of whatever in the garden. Y'all got the picture of that, don't you? And they'd come back and didn't say they chopped them up in big chunks. They sheared them. That all of this was all mixed together. And how that sometimes, and I hope that I'm not making a wrong application, but sometimes when we see that when man's hands can get into things, we can see that things get sheared into it that's not palatable to our taste. And even can be poison to us. And how that these men, they didn't understand that, but they went out and they did this anyway, and they brought this into the pot and sheared it there. And then when they tasted it, they said, oh no, there's death in the pot. What are we going to do? Who did they turn to? Elisha. And there's men in here that I have great respect for that I can still turn to them. When there's things that are going on that I can call somebody up and say, hey, let's talk about this. But theirs was this death in this pot, and they couldn't eat it. And it was something that they just couldn't dip out. So what did Elisha do? He said, bring me some meal. And meal was the neutralizer to this right here. And the beautiful picture that I see, even in this, that he brought the meal, when I see something in the New Testament that Jesus Christ says, I'm the bread of life. And the only thing that we can find that's going to neutralize troubles and poison and death in the pot will be Jesus Christ himself. You know, I've heard people say, well, all we need is Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that. But I ask the question, what Jesus Christ are you talking about? Right. Are we talking about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book? And that's the one that I want to talk about, is the one that has healing in his hands. The one that said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And in those keys to the kingdom, he's given them the responsibility to open doors and to shut doors. Mm-hmm. And to open up things and to shut things according to Jesus Christ. Because that's going to be the neutralizing substance that we need today. We heard about it last night in the surety. We heard it in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard it in repentance in our life. And what was all of that? Jesus Christ himself. That's what we need today, is Jesus. And he took this and he said, bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. You know, I think about a lot of pictures of how that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And I was reading this morning, just trying to get the context of this. So, I was going back and reading before and reading after to get the whole context. And I seen that there was a time before this that they'd come to some waters that wasn't fit to drink. And these men said, "We can't drink this water." And what did Elijah say? "Bring me some salt." You wouldn't think salt would be what you want to put into some water. But you know what Jesus said about you? He says, "You're the salt of the earth." And Jesus Christ is that salt that fixed that water and fixed this pot of stew. And you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And we need to let our lights so shine that men can see your good works. And it's good works to be here today. But our real good works is when we leave here. And we need those good works that God has before ordained. You know, God ordained good works that we should walk in them. Amen. Now, we don't always walk in them, but he says we should walk in them. And how do we get those good works? It's for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. We can learn about good works in our local churches. That's where we need to be established and build up. And then when we go out in this world, we can let our lights so shine. We can be the salt. You know, there's so much in salt. I love salt. Now, I've never had a problem with salt. I know some people, but I like it. It's never bothered me. But one thing about my mama, she was a good cook. All of you that ate under my mama's table, y'all know she was a good cook. And one of her favorite things to cook was green beans. But, you know, green beans all by themselves just don't taste good. Now, they're good for you. But you need something to season them. And the preaching of the gospel needs to be seasoned with salt. You know, a lecture on the Bible is good. It don't hurt you. But you know what? When we have Holy Spirit God in it, you know what? It just seasons that pot, doesn't it? You know, other things about salt. Anybody that knows anything about medicine knows that just about every medicine out there has what in it? Sodium chloride. That's salt. It's a preservative. It's a medicine. It changes the taste. And that's what the gospel will do when it's seasoned with Jesus Christ. It'll change the taste. It'll make it palatable, that it will be useful to our bodies. You know, we could turn over there to Ephesians chapter number 4, and he's talking about how that the church is to be built up. You know, there's some apostles and some evangelists and all like that. To what? To the building and the edifying of the church. You know, I've got some things here today and last night in this fellowship that I want to take back to my church to build it up. And that's why we need these meetings like this so much, that we can have our own churches established and being, and another thought, being rooted and grounded in the truth. Right. Now, all you farmers down here know that the root system is essential to agriculture. And a lot of times, and I remember one time, and you know, we was we was planting, and we didn't do this often, but we was planting some oats one year, and we planted them in September. And they come up, and they got about that tall, and they stayed just like that all winter long. And I said something to Daddy. I said, what's going on with these oats? He says, they're not growing. He says, yes, they are. We just don't see the growth. The growth on these oats right now is growing down, getting a good root system. And soon as it started warming up in about February and March, what happened to those oats? They started coming. And then it came to the time of the harvest. You know, sometimes we don't see growth in our churches like we want to. But I hope when it's that we're growing down, that one day we can grow up. Why? Because, and it's already been said, we must decrease, but he must increase. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.